That was not the talk you thought you were going to see. Okay, evaluation of natural and hybrid turf for water conservation. Jonathan Montgomery, Department of Botany and Plant Sciences, University of California, Riverside.
All right, well, thank you, Professor Murley, and thank all of you for making the time to come to my presentation today. Now, I'm sure that most of you are aware of the situation in California. We're in a state of extreme drought. It's recently been declared a drought emergency. 71% of the state is technically classified as an extreme drought region. That's the darker portion of this map. Now, our study was conducted here in Riverside, California, which is technically in a state of severe drought, but right on the border of the extreme drought region. Now, what this has created is a political climate favoring the removal of all turf grass landscapes. We see zero scaping, we see artificial turf installation. And at UC Riverside, what we try to do is investigate techniques which can reduce potable water inputs while still maintaining turf grass landscapes in a visually acceptable way. Now, one of the methods that we're looking at for reducing irrigation inputs is hybrid turf. Specifically, our study is using Coverlon, a product produced by EZ Hybrid Turf. It's a netted polyester and latex material with a polyethylene artificial turf pile woven into it. What this allows is that living turf can emerge in the spaces created in the material and support the artificial turf material, integrating in with it and also avoiding the use of infill materials. The company claims that products like this, and especially this product, can reduce wear stress on turf and also reduce runoff compared to artificial turf products. The claim that we're investigating is that by reducing transpiring leaf area through reductions in overall living turf members of a landscape with this product, they can actually reduce the need for irrigation. There are three primary types of Coverlon material. We have CL6003, which is a longer artificial turf pile and is intended for areas of low maintenance or low cultural intensity. We also have a CL2003 product, which has a smaller pile as well as larger holes, about 3 centimeter wide holes. CL indicates that these products are intended for use on tall fescue. The CM2003 product is identical to the CL2003 product. However, it's intended for use with Bermuda grass. Therefore, it has a different color palette to allow for better visual integration. The company also claims that there are two installation strategies that can be used with their products. You can either completely remove turf or start with a bare ground, seed that, and then install the product over the seed, allowing the natural turf to emerge in the spaces. The other method they recommend is scalping the turf very low and then laying the product over it and allowing the turf to recover. The product comes in 1.8 meter wide strips. In this aerial photograph of a Bermuda grass portion of our study, you can see the strips are pretty apparent. So we lay them out like that. I have some more detailed images of those here. These are the tall fescue products. You can see a very clear visual difference based on the pile height. In Bermuda grass, there's only a single product, and you can see it installed here. Here are some more detailed images. The artificial turf pile is longer here and obscures the natural grass. This is the CL6003 product. Here's the CL2003, allowing better integration with the natural turf. And here's our CM2003 product, all of these on seeded bare ground. To test the industry claim that reduced transpirational area will lead to reduced irrigation inputs, we conducted this study at UC Riverside in the summer of 2015. What we did is we evaluated Coverlon for potential water savings. We also evaluated the performance of turf with Coverlon products installed under deficit irrigation. Additionally, we looked at some different product types and some different installation strategies. Now here I am holding a roll of the material just to show you what it looks like when you'd receive it. Here's a general photo of it being installed from the EZ Hybrid Turf website. And here the product is immediately following installation, where the turf has begun to emerge sparsely there. In our study, conducted during the summer of 2015 at UC Riverside, we initiated 3 irrigation regimes on both tall fescue and Bermuda grass portions of our study. One of those regimes was 100% ET replacement. The second was 100% ET replacement multiplied by the crop coefficient for the species of grass under investigation. The third regime was a 20% reduction from that irrigation quantity, and this represented our drought regime. Now, what I've presented here is the tall fescue portion of our study. You can see our ET replacement amounts were 60, 80, and 100. And I would like to point out on the key in the lower left of the figure there that due to our incorporation of 2 cover lawn products in the tall fescue portion of the study, that is the CL2003 and CL6003 product, we were unable to incorporate scalped or bare ground controls. So while we do have both products installed with both techniques, there are no controls of simply scalped or bare ground seeded turf. However, if I show you the Bermuda grass portion of the study where a single product type was investigated, you can see that we did include bare ground and scalped controls. All data was subjected to analysis of variance and separated by the Fisher's least significant difference. It ended up being a Latin square design, and we had 3 replicates. So in July, when turf grass requires the highest amount of irrigation to maintain acceptable visual quality, we began collecting biweekly ratings. The ratings we collected were the standard visual quality of 1 to 9. We did digital image analysis using a light box, and with that digital image analysis, we looked at percent live turf cover, as well as dark green color index. We measured canopy temperature using an infrared thermometer. We detected normalized difference vegetation index using the Green Seeker by Trimble, and we measured soil volumetric water content using a simple TDR probe. Every month on the tall fescue portion of the study, we also collected clipping yield to investigate further that claim that reduced density of living turf is the mechanism by which irrigation requirements can be reduced. Here I have an image prior to initiation of our drought stress showing the difference in visual appearance when you install a cover lawn product. Unfortunately, due to incorrect cultural practices and management on the Bermuda grass portion of the study, we did not find significant results. They were all obscured due to other effects. So, in this presentation, I will only be showing you results in the tall fescue portion of the study. However, in August, we did find that all treatments except for CL2003 applied to scalp turf were able to outperform our controls in visual quality. In late July, all treatments started to fall below acceptable turf quality. You can see here, I'll draw your attention to the third batch of columns on this figure. Our control is on the far right, represented by the brown bar. It's at the lowest quality. To the left of that is our CL6003 product applied to scalp turf. That is a higher and improved quality. The CL6003 applied to bare soil with seeded is one of the highest, and that's the green bar right there. Red bar represents our CL2003 product applied to scalp turf. The blue bar is our CL2003 product applied to bare soil seeded. Now, I would like to draw your attention right here that CL2003 on scalp turf is the only product which did not outperform our control, and you'll see this happen again later. We found that our ET replacement regime had an effect on all rating dates, and this is good. It confirms that our irrigation was working and initiating a drought stress condition. However, there was never an interaction between our ET replacement and our product type. This indicates that while there may not be a benefit to using cover lawn under reduced irrigation, there is some benefit to visual quality simply by using our product. On that graph I just showed you, our results are averaged across all irrigation regimes, and they will continue to be throughout the remainder of these slides. We found that clipping yield on those same plots that showed enhanced visual quality, the CL2003 and CL6003 applied to bare seeded soil, clipping yield was reduced in those same plots. You can see that here, especially in the second batch of columns. The blue and green bars have serious reductions compared to the adjacent bars, which represent those same treatments applied to scalp turf. This indicates that installing any product on bare soil, which has then been seeded, is probably the best method for reducing density of living turf. Here's an image sort of demonstrating how that could be caused mechanistically. You can see on the top portion of the study, one of the cover lawn products has been installed. And the cover lawn product is preventing the turf from taking over the entire area contained within the plot. Below it is a control plot where the turf is much more dense. Moving on to our NDVI results, we saw an improvement in all products except for that CL2003 applied to scalp turf. Remind you really quickly that that was the same one that did not outperform our controls in visual quality. Our hypothesis for why this was occurring is that on bare-seeded soil with reduced density of living turf, the artificial turf material is more apparent. Now, our equipment and ratings, even my visual ratings, register the artificial turf material basically as natural turf. So you can see how that would lead to higher results here, higher values here. Prior to this date, we saw a slight reduction in temperature in those same well-performing plots, either treatment applied to bare soil, which had then been seeded. This reduction was small if you look at the y-axis here. However, it was significant. Finally, we found that CL6003, the product with the taller pile, led to transient increases in dark green color index, which we were assessing with the light box. And once again, we believe this is because the product was simply more apparent, and the digital image analysis registered it as healthy turf there. So despite the fact that we did see the reduced living turf density, which the industry was claiming their product could bestow, we did not see anything in this study that indicated it would be a valuable product for reducing potable water inputs to maintain an acceptable turf surface. However, what we did find is that installing on bare seeded ground can actually be the most effective method based on our metrics of turf performance. CL6003 on scalp turf did outperform CL2003 on scalp turf. However, we once again believe this is simply due to the increased quantity of artificial turf product. And with that, I would like to thank Easy Hybrid Turf, the company which supported this research, as well as the Baird Lab at UC Riverside for helping me to conduct it and design these studies. And I would love to open the floor to any questions. Oh, yeah.
Does the company have a prognosis as to how long the material will survive in the natural environment, maybe degradation or other factors?
So this depends on... They have a guarantee on their products of about 7 years of, not about, exactly 7 years for color fastness. However, if you're relying more on the physical traits of the product for reducing living turf cover, and you're not as worried about the visual appearance of the product itself, then it should not break down for up to 15 to maybe 20 years before it really falls apart. It's very resilient, very stretchy. We installed a lot of it, you know, never ripped any. Oh, yes, right there.
It's been a few years since I took statistics, but my memory was that the lab square had the same number of reps as the best treatments. In your analysis, you had 5 treatments and 3 reps.
Yes, yes. That became apparent later when we actually began to conduct the study. That did become apparent, and it's very unfortunate. We should have included the same number of replicates as treatments, but space constraints and just issues with the beginning study design sort of led to that. However, the results, I would say, are... While they're not maybe statistically as reliable as I would like them to be, I believe they are real results and significant. Was there another question there? Yeah.
The irrigation system.
Yeah.
The method of applying the water, was that like rotors or sprays? Or?
We actually use hand irrigation out there, which is why I thought it was so significant that we saw effects bestowed by the irrigation regimes. Because I was concerned that hand watering may not have been completely effective. However, every time we saw reduced quality based on all of our metrics in those plots receiving the least amount of irrigation and improvements in those receiving the increased irrigation. That was how I was double checking that. Yes? Actually, the temperature was reduced in those plots which were established on the seeded bare ground. So that's why we say that the seeded bare ground is just the best installation method for this product. And my hypothesis on, or my theory on that, is that due to reduced air movement in those more dense plots, those control plots and those installed on scalp turf, air movement was actually affected, reducing that cooling effect.
Okay, we're going to have to keep moving, but let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.